The trial of Sean Diddy Combs has started this week. In fact, the jury selection began yesterday. Combs, whose label Bad Boy Records helped make him a kingmaker in the world of hip hop, was arrested last fall when authorities actually arrested him on federal charges, alleging he was helping to run a criminal sex trafficking operation. And just his name alone certainly has the notoriety, but the scandalous tones to this case also have made this news that everyone, including many here in Connecticut, are talking about. So we want to talk about just this case in general, what we could expect coming up next. We've got one of our legal experts on the morning show, Bill Bloss, attorney Bill Bloss, who is here to talk about this case. And let's actually start with that, Bill. Welcome back to the show. Just how high profile the P. Diddy case really is.
Well, in New York, it's very high profile. They're very unusual for federal court. They're going to take 3 days to pick a jury, which is very atypical. Usually in federal court, you pick a jury in a day or half a day or an hour even. But they've set aside 3 days. They're going to do individual questioning of the jury. It's going to be tough to get a jury, I think. They'll get one, but it's not a typical case.
I mean, I don't know if there's another high profile case you can compare this to, Bill, but what of course stands out to me is when you hear about this with actors or, television anchors, directors. I mean, we have seen high profile cases certainly before where people are accused of either sexual misconduct, I don't want to say sex trafficking per se, but, abusing.
Well, he's charged with sex trafficking. So, you can, sure.
Right. I guess I'm thinking like a Harvey Weinstein. I don't believe that was sex trafficking, but I know of other high profile cases where it doesn't look good for them, certainly. But in this case in particular, I think P. Diddy is even bigger than most other high profile cases are, just because of the nature of who he is. I mean, and then when you look at the amount of celebrities who have also been sort of tied to him, I think it's a really complicated case. I don't know if you could comment on that.
Well, I mean, the one that comes to mind is OJ, right?
Right. That's what I was thinking too.
They did get a jury in OJ. Now we can argue about whether, it was the right jury or not, but given, they changed venue in that case right before the trial, which led to a very different jury, but which is not going to happen for P. Diddy. The trick in the cases like this, Melissa, is there are going to be some people who want to be on the jury for one reason or another. Now there are three reasons. One is because they really love Combs and they want to try to help him. One is they really hate Combs and they want to try to
convict him.
Hurt him. Mm-hmm. Right. And then the third is just for the theoretical celebrity of it, that they can.
You're on the jury of P. Diddy. Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. And you may get a book out of it. You may get talk shows out of it. You may get a podcast out of it. I mean, everybody's got a podcast, right?
So, yeah. No,
So, this is one of these unfortunate areas where there are going to be some people who want to be on the jury and may try to shade answers to try to get on the jury, which is obviously wrong.
Mm.
And people should not do that. But that's always a concern in a high profile case like this, is when this is going to be a long trial too. This is not, there's going to be a lot of tension. Trials are a stressful thing, especially, criminal trials. But, the lawyers on both sides have their work cut out for them. This is not the jury selection is going to be very, very pivotal.
And again, we have attorney Bill Bloss here, who's our legal expert on the show. He's not one of the attorneys he's referring to on this case, but we love to get his legal background, his expertise on these types of cases. Do you see having high profile celebrities taking the stand? The one that stands out to me, attorney Bloss, is Justin Bieber. I think people have been talking about him in particular and his him being a victim, an alleged victim of Diddy, and I'm curious if you feel like we're going to see some high profile celebrities also have to make court appearances in this case.
Well, if the prosecution has got some celebrities that are that will testify that they were victimized, say they were drugged, they were kidnapped, they were exploited somehow. Mm-hmm. If the prosecution is even slightly concerned about how the case is going, then they're going to put those people on, because that, though, you know, if a Justin Bieber gets up, or somebody, you know, to pick somebody else, if somebody known to the jury gets up and says, I was sexually assaulted, I was kidnapped, I was trafficked, I was drugged, I was threatened, you know, that goes a long way. Right. And yeah. And the jury is going to say, well, this isn't some, you know, clerk at a store coming in and trying to get 15 minutes of fame. This is somebody who's already got a great deal of fame and is somebody who's got a lot to lose. If there's a claim of a false accusation. So, yeah, if the prosecution has that evidence, I would definitely expect them to use it. Similarly, if the defense has that evidence, I would expect them to use it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it makes even more complicated, though, with a jury, which is why I bring it up, Attorney Bloss, because if you've got, you know, like I said, let's just use Justin Bieber as an example. If you've got a mega fan on the jury who loves Justin Bieber, well, then they don't even care what the rest of the case shows them. They're going to side with Justin. You know what I'm getting at? So I feel like the jury selection, I would imagine, in my opinion, would be the hardest part of this entire thing, because you really have to vet who's serving it. I think you're not going to have a shortage of volunteers who would do it, but I think you've got to vet that they're going to go into it and really make they're going to make a decision based on what is presented in the court, not who presents it and not, you know, their notoriety, but what evidence is shown and should he be convicted.
Well, you're right. You're 100% right. And it's very hard to do, because you rely on the good faith of the juror, the potential juror, to
right.
come in and say, you know, this is, you know, this is how I feel, this is what I would do. And and there is a kind of a crazy thing that we do in jury selection as lawyers is we ask jurors to predict how they would react when they are put in a situation that they've never been in before. And so, you know, it's a little bit an extreme hypothetical that we're asking jurors to respond to in jury selection. But you're right. You know, the jury selection is absolutely pivotal in this case. And I think the judge understands that, because he's set aside for federal court. He's set aside a lot of extra time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in state court, you would have a right in Connecticut and under our constitution, you have a right to individually question jurors. So it would be a little easier, I guess, to try to get jurors who were kind of in the middle and didn't have baggage one way or the other. But, you know, even then it relies on the good faith of jurors to, or potential jurors to respond to questions. I don't envy the lawyers in this case at all.
No, I don't either. And Attorney Bill Bloss is here, our legal expert on Melissa in the Morning. We're talking about a couple high-profile cases, including the very latest on the trial for Sean Diddy Combs, which started this week. They're in the midst of a jury selection, which, Bill, you said this one is taking 3 days, which is sort of not the norm. Quick question. Are there red flags, like any red flags that are being looked at when it comes to picking a juror?
Well, you know, a couple of red flags. One is a juror who's anxious to get on the jury. You know, that is something that in any case we're very hesitant about, because that person, if somebody has a cause that is unrelated, you know, to the case, that's something that really does make us hesitate. They're going to do background research, by the way, on these jurors to the extent they can. They're going to go through social media. They're going to go through, any kind of internet available information. So they're going to know a fair amount about these people.
Yeah.
But they're still going to rely on the good faith of the jurors to honestly answer and say, look, you know, have you got some issue that causes you to have baggage that you're not a good fit with this case. There's a 90% reliance on the good faith of jurors.
And I'm not saying that they're totally reliable, but they are used effectively a lot. Do they ever use lie detector tests during jury selection?
No. No, that's more of
a criminal thing,
relying on the lawyers. Well, it's not even that. Polygraphs are pretty unreliable. I mean, they've even gone out of vogue in the criminal context as kind of junk science, if you will.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, there is a business called a jury consultant, or an employment called a jury consultant, where people who purport to specialize in kind of identifying red flags, if you to use your term. And I'm sure that the Combs side has a jury consultant or two, saying this is somebody who we think is would be at least neutral or favorable. This is somebody who's a ticking time bomb. So yeah, it's interesting that they will have these people that purport to be able to kind of comb through answers, comb through social media, comb through whatever information is available, and give you some idea more than just what's in more than happens in questioning, give you some idea about how the juror would be.
So again, we have attorney Bill Bloss here, who's our legal expert on the show. I know I've left very little time, so we may have to do a part two here. But another big case in the last week had to do with the Supreme Court looking at, I believe this started in Oklahoma, but this was really looking at major implications for the American public school system and considering whether religious charter schools, which are taxpayer funded, are constitutional. What do you think about this case, Bill?
Well, it sounds like it's a very close case in terms of how the court's going to decide, and it's a very complicated case. The law deals in the reason cases get to the Supreme Court is because they are in gray areas, and this case is in the grayest of area, and because the question boils down to whether a charter school is a public school or whether it's a private school. Mm. And it's got characteristics of both. And the reason that's important is because there are two different rights relating to religion in the First Amendment, and they're in tension a little bit. One is that the government shall not establish a religion. We all understand that separation of church and state. And that's been a key part of our culture for centuries, but the other is free exercise. The government cannot burden the exercise of religion, and sometimes those are in tension. And it's in tension here when there is taxpayer funding of any charter school, except in Oklahoma, a charter school that is run by a religious organization. Mm-hmm. So the state is saying, we don't want to establish a religion. We don't want to use taxpayer money for a religious school. The school proponents are saying, well, you're burdening our free exercises of religion because you treat us differently than the way you treat anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so this is a quintessential gray area case. Is it more on the side of is it more of a state school because it lets everybody in and it uses state tax dollars, or is it more of a private school because it's run by the diocese there in Oklahoma, and it doesn't answer to the state of Oklahoma? Now the state of Oklahoma Supreme Court, which is not a generally you would consider to be some kind of progressive high court, struck down the law and said that it was unconstitutional as a government establishment of religion. It looks like in the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, it's either going to be a 5-3 decision or a 4-4 decision, because Amy Coney Barrett recused herself because of the case is being brought by a friend of hers, actually from Notre Dame Law School, or an organization that she's affiliated with.
So conflict of interest, yeah.
Yeah, so and to her credit, she backed out. I mean, she.
It's honorable, honestly. Yeah, because she could have just buried that. She could have just said nothing.
Sure.
Exactly. That was the right call.
It looks like it's gonna come down to Chief Justice Roberts, and he did not give much indication in oral argument which way he was gonna go. But it's a case where both sides have got rational, solid arguments. You
I think the timing of it too, Bill, is really is pertinent only because we're, you know, I feel like we're in a very educational crisis environment right now in the nation. And so I was going to say, I'm surprised that this hasn't come up in the past, but I think right now every dollar I feel like counts. And I'm wondering if that's what kind of brought this on, unless it's just a brand new school.
It's brand new, actually.
It's a brand new school.
It's been percolating for a few years. Yeah.
Wow.
So, and the other thing about it is, which I think is interesting, having served on a board of ed for 20 years, it's a virtual school. You know, they're not going to have classrooms. It's all going to be remote, which I think is educationally.
Oh, interesting.
I think we learned during COVID that doesn't work.
It's not effective. You know, that's interesting. There's a lot of complexities to this school.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting case.
Huh. Well, we'll definitely have to watch what happens. And certainly, depending on what that means, I wonder if Connecticut would ever follow suit, just because we have the charter schools here as well, obviously. And I don't know, it'd be interesting to watch.
Could be forced to.
Exactly. You know, that'd be interesting.
If you're going to have publicly funded charter schools, mm-hmm. and the Supreme Court goes the way the diocese wants, then it's going to be open season, and any religiously affiliated organization is going to be able to get in line. So it's an interesting problem.
Yeah, we certainly have to keep an eye on it. Attorney Bill Bloss, I always appreciate having these conversations with you. Thank you so much. We'll definitely be in touch.
Okay, good.